International Church. Welcome to today's podcast.
Yeah, we were trying to share in the morning, and then we discovered actually we're on the same page. So the two of us are just going to give the message that we believe God would have you here for this year 2020. For me, I think the way it began was very strange because as the year began, a dear friend was in CCU. It's not ICU, it's critical care unit, CCU, and spent quite a bit of time with the family. And then by yesterday, we were just called, somebody we just used to attend, it's a family that used to be here, the Bohr family, Lily Bohr, and Malcolm and Carol, yeah, and the husband, they all used to be here before, at the old place, and they moved on. And yesterday they called Pastor Fred and just said, please come and see us. The husband was not well, so they needed prayer. When on our way there, he passed on. So now we had to be with the family just like that. And it was quite a sobering thought. Because at the all night we were saying there are some people who may not see the beginning. Some people just didn't even see the first. They didn't manage to cross over. The ones who didn't even manage to see the few days of the 2020, but you are alive. You are here. And it's not something that you take for granted. Never take it for granted. I think what has been happening of late is that we've come so used to God and church and religion and saying, I am a Christian. After all, I go to church, it's okay. So when we are praying, it's all about us, what God will do for me, and how things will work out for me. And we have forgotten that there is a destiny we are all trying to get to. We are forgetting that the whole thing about all that we're doing here is to do the work that God called us to do, which was to make disciples of all nations, to preach this gospel. And as we are preaching this gospel, our intention is that by the grace of God, we will make it to heaven. And we seem to have forgotten that there is a heaven to get to. And this heaven, by the time you're getting there, the Lord will ask each one of us a few questions. And we see it in Matthew 25. Did you feed me when I begged you? Did you fill my cup when I reached out in thirst? Did you take me in when I was homeless? What did you do when I was naked? Did you clothe me? Those are the questions that God is going to ask each one of us. And we seem to have been so warped up in, I don't even know what it is. It's like, we're just Christians. We're just saved. So we are going. And then we are forgetting that even the work that we do for God is still going to be tested. Even the work that you think you're doing for him, it's going to be tested, because how did you do the work that he told you to do? And some of us will reach a point where it's like you'll be at the gate and it will be like, actually, what was I supposed to do as a Christian? What was my mission? You'll be asking at that point instead of asking around this time. So I'm praying that as we begin 2020, we're going to ask ourselves questions. Why am I here? Why has God put me here in Numa Ministries? He didn't put you somewhere else. He put you here. It's a small church. It's a small congregation. But he put you here. So if he put you here, what is the reason for your being here? What does he want from you? And are you doing what he wants from you? And that is a question. And many of us are still not quite sure. We just come, maybe go through the worship, the praise, and thank God we are alive. Thank God we are here. So praise God. That's it. But there's more to it. So as we begin 2020, I'm praying that we'll ask ourselves questions. And just remember, Christ is coming soon. We were just talking with Percy, just as we were coming, driving here, and then we were saying, look at Australia. You know, the karaoke's are supposed to, from South Africa, they're supposed to be moving to Australia. They were actually supposed to be there by December 29th. It has now been moved end of January. But guess what's happening in Australia? There's fire. Wildfire. Just burning. You turn around the next one, Kenyan, there are floods. Just from nowhere. Guys are just... And it's like, it's okay. Look at Indonesia. The floods that are there. And you're wondering, what is going on here? And you see, these are the signs of the times. These are the signs. God said there will be wars, rumors of wars. Look at what has happened to Syria. It's like we've forgotten. You know, we have to kind of put ourselves in their shoes. You're in your country, and then suddenly, people are just being bombed everywhere. Your own sisters, brothers, they're killed. A child is left alive, alone. And the child is just wandering about in a war-torn area, wondering what to do. Hungry, tired, everything's just been bombed out. You don't even know where the water is coming from. People can't come in for fear of they themselves even dying. But you see, we can't even visualize that. We can't visualize war. We can't visualize what's going on. Even just in Kisumu area where guys' houses were flooded. Can you imagine? Just imagine it was your house that was flooded. You, all your papers, your documents, electrical stuff. Maybe you can imagine your house just being flooded. So you're thinking electricity, shocks, anything can happen. But you see, with all that's going on in the world, we have to be aware the end is near. That's what we've lost sight of. The end is near. While you're minding your own business, remember the end is very near. Christ is coming, and there will be judgment day. Judgment day. And that's what most people don't want to preach about. They don't want to talk about it. Because I'm scared people might leave the church. They're saying, oh, Christ is coming. He has been coming since. But they'll go. Go. The truth is, it is coming. And if I don't tell you, I will be held responsible. Because the Bible says, and in Ezekiel, he was told, tell them, whether they hear or they don't hear. But if you don't tell them, and I told you to tell them, their blood is on your head. So I make sure I say it. I don't want anybody's blood on my head. At least they had. Whether they listened or they didn't, that's their own issue. What they did about it, no problem. But we need to sober up sometimes and remember that judgment is coming. You can't just live your life anyhow, in any manner, just thinking everything will be smooth. It's not smooth for everybody. We don't even know by the end of this year what will have happened in between. What kind of trials, persecution will you undergo as an individual? You have no idea. Or what victories is God going to give you? Miracles that he will do for your life, which you never even anticipated. Because this is, he's still God, and he's still working miracles, signs, and wonders. So there are many things, you know, there are two sides. There is the wonderful things God is going to do, but there's also the fearful side of God, which most people don't want to talk about. But whichever way, 2020 has begun, we look forward positively. And his encouragement to us is that he is in total control of everything that's going to happen in your life. And you have to just trust that God is going to take care of everything that concerns you. And that he's going to encourage you and to lift you up. If you're down, if anything happens that goes wrong that you did not expect, he's going to lift you up. And if everything goes even 10 times better than you expected, which is always what we love, then we will also still praise the Lord. We will not give up. But we will continue to praise him. And we will not become proud. You see, God has blessed me. Therefore, I have made it. Therefore, church, I'm not interested anymore. He says, don't forget the fellowshipping of the saints together. Never neglect that. Because fire lights, a spark gets, with another spark, you get a good fire going. But if one of the charcoal pieces goes off, it always goes off. You remove it from the kajiko, you'll find that it just goes off. It dies down. But together, they are able to light a fire. So, one of the promises that we looked at, and I'll be very, very fast, is that one of the things that we learned in January is that Hebrews 6:10, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and the love which you showed towards his name, in that you ministered unto the saints and still do minister. God is not unjust. You have been serving God. And that is one of the things we emphasized. He is not unrighteous. He will remember the work that you have done. He is going to reward you. Because you are still continuing to do it. Now notice, it didn't say what's going on in your life as you are doing it. And you notice, this person, when this promise is being given, in that you ministered unto the saints and do minister. You have not stopped. You have not paused. Let me take a break. Yeah? It's been too much. Let me take a break. There is no break. The day you take a break, Christ will just come. I don't know. What is rest again? He will come unexpectedly. So none of us at this time can just say we will pause. Whatever you do, whatever it is that, and in fact, I like the idea, Moody, by the way, bringing a cake. Do you know that is ministry? You may just think it's just, let me do it. But you won't believe, God said, bring the cake. You didn't know January people are the ones who are going to celebrate. There was no cake. But you just had an idea. Let me bring a cake. You are ministering to the saints with a gift that God has given to you. Did you feed me when I begged you? Yes. Because somebody here, maybe standing here, may never celebrate their birthday. They will not have a cake for their birthday. Don't know. But you brought the cake. You are saying New Year's. And yet for somebody, this is my celebration. So no matter how little, what little things you do, whether you bring clothes, let's give. You know, Daisy has people she's always looking after. And people always bring clothes here. We give her, she takes. Whatever it is that you do, God sees it. He is not unrighteous to forget your works to the saints, in that you ministered in his name and you do minister. You're continuing to do it. So it's not a matter of, do I stand up to preach? No. It's not who is preaching. It's not about, I don't even know what to say. But anything that God tells you to do, you do it well. Okay? So, in Hebrews 12:14, just to go, there are some certain things that we're going to see. In 2020, you will need to look into concerning your life to just to obtain whatever promise it is that God has for you for this year. Some things that just might need to be adjusted that you need to do, and I'll just go through them over quickly. Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and the sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord. So he says, follow peace with all men. The word peace is actually Irene. So Irene, that's where your name comes from. Irene, quietness, rest. Follow peace with all men. That means in 2020, you know, there are some people who are just problems waiting to happen. Have you ever known that? There was a lady who was saying, they have, their whole family gathers. Christmas, the whole family is together. They're just having fun. There's, everything is okay. Everybody's talking, cousins, nieces. Then there's one sister of hers, an auntie. She enters. By the time you're all leaving, you've quarreled, you've disagreed. She's just a problem that happens in the family. So in fact, they pray that she can come the next day and just leave them in peace. There's always that one person. This one is like a thorn in the family. Just one. And never coping with anybody. You say, tuende hivi anasema hivi. Tuende juu anasema chini. Just going off. And you see, the it's like you're being told, don't be that kind of person who causes strife, who just causes confusion. Don't be that kind of person. Be the one who seeks after peace. Follow peace with all men. So don't just be a disaster waiting to happen in a group or something like that. Be the peaceful one. And sometimes peace means walking away even when you're falsely accused. Peace means shutting your mouth. Just keep quiet. Keep quiet. No husband's wives, story mobu. It just happens because I'm insisting on my way. Have you ever known that sometimes it's good to be quiet? Aki insist unamangalia tu. Lakini useme tu kidogo tu. Na pole pole. And then keep quiet. Because there's no use of arguing. You know, some in the house, I don't know. Let me tell you, single people, there's nothing worse than going home and there's quarrel. Quarreling. Strife. Yani even a guy doesn't want to go. I think Eric, one time you were telling me how a friend of yours kept coming to your when you were in college, that he kept asking you, what work do you have to do? Eh? I can help you do anything. Then Eric kept wondering, you just go married. What is your problem? The guy was saying he has to keep away from home. The noise. Just anything so that he goes late. Anything. Because it's just a quarrelsome person. Always looking for something to do. Sometimes just keep quiet. And you don't always have to be right. That's one of the tricks about, if you want to stay long, we've been married how long? 27. 27 years. It's like yesterday. Now, Moshe, I don't think you've seen us fighting, have you? Your whole life. Your whole 17 years. I don't think you've had us. No. It's always one gives in. You know, you just, nenda two of you. For what? No, I don't know. I can't stand a house where there's noise. I won't take it, and I will. I don't know how to pretend. If you see me that Sunday, you just see me. I am not happy. And he says, come and pray. I will sit and refuse to pray. For what? No, I don't know even know how. I don't know how to do that. But just be a peaceful person. Be at peace with all men. Learn how to just keep quiet. When it's too hot, maybe just calm down. Take a break. Go outside. Go outside. Just do anything. Whatever it is, you know yourself, okay? So follow peace and sanctification also. Okay, no, let me read James 4:1. It tells you something. Do you know, 1-3, James 4:1-3. I have the scripture, so I'll be so fast. You might get it by the time I'm through. Do you know where your fights and arguments come from? They come from the selfish desires that make war inside you. You want things, but you don't get them. So you kill and are jealous of others, but you still cannot get what you want. So you argue and fight. You don't get what you want because you don't ask God. All you need to do is ask God. Or when you ask, you don't receive anything because the reason you ask is wrong. You only want to use it for your own pleasure. I got a very simple version that you could understand. ERV, actually, that's the version. It's quite clear. So it's just your own selfish things. That's why you argue with people. I want to be right. I want to be. Eh? I want everybody to know that I'm correct. I am righteous. They don't need to know that. Just live at peace with all men. Be at peace. You don't always have to fight. It's not worth it. So 2020, make a resolution. I will keep my mouth shut. For those of you who like just noise, just shut up. And Lord, help me to shut up. Let blow up, but don't just close your mouth. Okay? So, another thing, if you're told to love your enemies, people will persecute you this year, but you're told to love your enemies. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. And remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of the darkness of this age. So don't fight people. When everything seems to be against you, sit down and start binding the force of evil. that is pushing them against you. And I like the idea of praying for your enemies. You know, some of us, if you were Stephen, being stoned, I curse every one of you if you are being stoned. Curse you! Fire from heaven! Kill all of you here! You know, if you are Stephen, you would not have kept quiet, I'm telling you. It's just human. Isn't it human anyway? Don't start pretending that you're righteous. You'd not have said the same thing. Don't. If it was you being stoned, you will curse those people. Very well. That is human. Okay, so don't just see, it's good to be real, okay? That's the truth. But I think what we need to do, pray for those who persecute you. Try as much as possible in 2020. Anybody who has wronged you, forgive them. Let it go. Let it go. You only 2019. This is 2020. Don't carry baggage into 2020. Let it go. And just pray for those who persecute you. Okay. Now, sanctification. Now, instead of doing all these things that make you fight other people, what you need to do, seek to be holy before God. Okay? Now, 2 Corinthians 7:1. You're being encouraged to make it your aim to be holy. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1 says, then having these promises, all the promises that God gives to you, he's going to give you many things in 2020. Then, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilements of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Cleanse yourself. Anything that is messing you up, cleanse yourself from it. Okay? Now, what are we saying? From all defilement. You know, there are some things that cause you to sin. Okay? I was in the movie industry, so I know the power of vision. The power of read, just the word, the written word that comes to you. The books, the kind of books that you read, that would now put in ideas in your head, which makes those ideas to stick. And then you will play it out later. So Satan won't just bring you at a fornication straight. He'll just bring it in the form of like a movie. This happens, something leads to another. You are just watching normal. But the issue is that vision. Have you ever noticed it's these simple visions that stay forever in your head? In a whole movie. It is that scene, that one, 5 seconds, that somehow you remember. 2 days later, 3, 5, a week later. If you asked about the movie, in reality, if you really face it, that 5-second scene is the one that is in your head. It's playing. Because that was the whole idea, to get you to defile yourself. And some of you in 2020, you will have to get rid of just stop watching some certain videos. That's it. Just stop. You will just have to do it. Stop reading certain books. Stop reading certain articles. If there's somebody who writes trash and you like reading gossip columns, it's making you a gossip person who does that. I don't know what gossip. By the way, those stories are all marketing things just to make money. And so that you read, so that, you know, they get more hits and they get more views and everything comes one after another. Stop it. Just don't engage that. Defiling is something that makes you dirty. In a funny way, mchafu. It defiles you. So some of you may have to just cut off some of the stuff. Literally slice them off yourself. Albert Burns is the one who said, we may have wealth, genius, learning, beauty, accomplishments, houses, lands, books, many friends. But without God, they are all in vain. We cannot see God without a holy heart. So you may have every other thing working for you, but without holiness, you're not going to see God. And then there's something interesting. Wait, let's go to Hebrews 12:15. It just says, looking carefully, lest there be any that falleth short of the grace of God. You have to look at yourself carefully because there's a grace of God. So this habit of just, you focus on the grace of God in 2020, okay? Well, I've just jumped something, but I'll get back. I'll connect the two together. just lest any man fall short of the grace of God. So what happens is this. You sense that you need to do something, like maybe Moody says, today he was supposed to bring the cake. Then he said, no, I think I'll bring it next week. You know, next week. Then next week comes, finds, oh no, I got busy. I'll do it on the next Sunday. The next Sunday, December comes, he has never done it. Do you see procrastination? You will have to kill it in 2020. If you're told to do something, just get up, do it, finish. And just, it's out of your head, out of sight, out of mind, because God wants to reward you. So don't procrastinate. If he tells you to do something, do it as soon as possible. Because if you don't do it, it's going to rob you of the blessing that would have come at that moment. The cake was to be brought today because the blessing is maybe for Monday. You're to be blessed maybe on Monday morning. Then because you waited, the blessing comes, looks for somebody else and lands on another person who says, wow, I don't know. I didn't expect anything like this from God. Kumbe, somebody was supposed to receive it. So watch about procrastination. Don't put things off today that can be done, okay? So don't put them up to tomorrow and they can be done today, okay? So don't wait for a big, I don't know what. You know, maybe you're waiting for the ingredients to make a cake. Eh? Many, I needed, you see the church, there are about 200 of them. I only had a packet of unga. Maybe that's not enough. So maybe when I get 3 packets is when I'll do it. No. You do however tiny, even if it's a cake like this, just do it. Small like this. Do it. Okay? So it's not even about how much, it's about doing it. So you learn also to persevere. Persevere, don't give up. Okay? And then, why are we being told, part 2 of Hebrews 12:15, fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many are defiled. Because there's a root that grows, okay? And if that root of bitterness grows, it will defile you completely. And so you need to look in 2020 for that root that is defiling you and destroy it, okay? Even if you cut down a tree, even to level, ground level, as long as that root is still there, it will come back. So some of you are going to have to dig deep and remove the roots of things that are making you sin. The root of evil. This root that is making things not work out for you. You're going to have to face it, squarely face it, and just root it out completely. That's the only way forward for you. You've seen people, like I have a story here. Let me just read it, because then you'll know. As I read it, you'll understand. You have known a man possessed of many good qualities, such qualities as attract and bind to their possessor a wide circle of friends. He is, in the common sense of the term, a good-hearted man. He's generous, kind, he's honest, and he can't hurt anybody. He won't injure anybody at all. He gives out of his wealth to feed the poor, and gives any man he owes, he makes sure he pays them. But guess what? He's a drunkard. He's a drunk, an alcoholic. So what has happened to this man? Everything going but alcoholism has just messed him. Do you know, if he got rid of that root of alcoholism, what kind of a person that would be? So some of you are going to have to get rid of that root, that thing that is messing up your whole being. Everything else is going well, but this but needs to be taken care of. So please look at that but and just uproot it completely, okay? Let me move on to Hebrews 12:16. Lest there be any fornication or profane person as Esau, who for one mess of meat sold his own birthright. Of course, you know, fornication is out. Just for one night stand, that is all it needs. And there you are, all messed up. Girls suffer more because they are the ones who bear the brunt of a quick just a decision made just like that. The ladies suffer, anybody can, the men suffer. But you have to be very careful in that there will be no fornication in your midst. Let no one fornicate in any way. I don't even know how to say it, but just don't. It is not proper. It is hurting to you. And you need to keep yourself pure in every way. And fornication comes simply because you're busy watching too many things that are giving you ideas, so that when you are alone in a secret place, in a dark place, you want to do what you thought you read or saw. So avoid some of these things. Fornication is wrong. You will not make it to heaven. Finished. Finished. That's it. Imagine with all the work you have done, all those Sundays you are in church, all those Sundays you are serving, all those Sundays you did what, all those Sundays you did what, pa, 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 pa. You reach the gate and he says, you committed adultery, you fornicated, depart from me, I never knew you. Can you imagine? And to you, I don't know how people see it. I was pretty surprised. Kaiser was saying something here about the pastors, the men of God, who, you know, take advantage of their flock and all that. But they also just, apart from pastors, you know, it's like people are just blatantly sinning without caring a hoot what God thinks. It's like you don't know God. It's like you don't know who he is. You don't know. The result of this one small thing that you're doing is small. But to you, you're taking it for granted that it's okay. I have a wife. It's okay. Let me have a side, somebody on the side here. And it's like, it's still okay. And Christ is coming soon. He's going to judge. He's going to judge. So you can hide from people, yes. But God, I'm glad he sees. God is seeing. And so things like fornication, adultery should never even come to your head or to be seen or heard anywhere within your, I don't even know how to say it, but that should never be. That's not even something we should even be discussing, because that should not be. It's just not done. So you're not going to heaven because of like a girl. A girl. You know, there was a time, Akapasi, he was training to be a pastor. And then he was now being offered a job by a very good church, a very good job. And then he was told somehow he had made the wrong choice. And I think the senior pastor saw that if he married this one, he was going to go south. He was just, there's no way. If that was, you see, okay, let me put it like this, because I can't put it in words properly. You see, there was this pastor, prim and proper, okay? And then the church is for prim and proper people, you understand? Then he wants to marry an unprim and unproper person. Harold. Harold. You know, I was thinking that maybe God, God is good. I'm telling you, I dare you, I dare you. Okay. Do you know the senior pastor just told him, my brother, come here. Choose between your wife and the job. The one you want to marry and the job. He couldn't come with that one. And then his fellow classmates, who are also with him, were telling him, my friend, wasichana ni wengi. Job ni moja. Chukua job. Actually, that was a mismatch made in, I don't know from where. It was just a bad one. It was a bad one. It was a bad, bad one. It was just bad. It would not have worked. And he was told to make a choice. But in all honesty, it's just that we need to be careful not for 1 second to sell our birthright. Esau just did it. Then he despised his birthright. You're the firstborn. You're the one who's going to inherit double. And the way it was, you did inherit double. Things would work out for you. And then he was so hungry, he didn't even care. Chukua birthright when patia chakula. So some of us in 2020 will have to be very careful. Endure hunger. Endure pain. Persevere. with the trials that you're going to go through, it is not worth throwing salvation on the side and just saying, ah, achana na wokovu, I'd rather get married to this anybody, non-believer. Na umesahau ulikuwa unagonga shetani before. Yeah? And you see what happens when such mismatch is made. What happens is that Satan does not forget. Eh? Ulikuwa unafundisha Sunday school. So these kids are all born again. Eh? Terrorizing my kingdom. And you are their teacher. Let me bring for you a cool guy. And day one, anasema sasa ndio utanijua. And you will start paying for it. No, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Just wait on God. However long it takes, I'd rather have 5 years of peace, a peaceful marriage, than 60 years of war. And many can testify to that. They've seen that, okay? So don't give up. So learn to persevere. Learn to tolerate some things. Eh? Let me move on. 17 says, for you know that even when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. He found no place for a change of mind in his father, Hebrews 12, 17. Though he sought it diligently with tears. So there's a time you can let something go and you lose it forever. You can't regain it again. May you not make that mistake in 2020. Don't let go of that thing, salvation. Don't let go of God. He is too dear. Not for anything. You'd rather lose your job than lose God. God is everything. You'd rather not compromise than lose God. Hold on to God. If people persecute you, it's okay, but you have God. Hold on to God in 2020, no matter what happens, no matter how things turn out. Hold on to God because he's faithful. He will never fail you. He's not unrighteous. He's not unrighteous to remember what you have done for him. He's not. He will reward you. So don't just give up on God, okay? Now, the other thing, Hebrews 12, 12 simply says, wherefore, lift up the hands that hang down and the paced knees. You see, lift up those hands. There's a time you can work and work until you're tired. It's like your hands just hang down. And then your knees, have you ever known that you can be under such heavy trial and so many that your knees just become weak? I don't know if you've seen those weight lifters. Eh? I always watch them and I'm like, wow. They have a huge belt holding, okay? The huge belts. And then they bend down and try and lift up those heavy weights. But guess what? Their knees. Have you ever seen their knees shaking? And you see, in his mind, he's just saying, no, come on, I can lift this. And the more he tells in his mind, I can do this, the knees that are shaking become stronger. You know, at the beginning, come on, you can do this. So he starts shaking, you see the knees. The knees are always the first, you can just see them shaking. Then it's like, come on. Then finally he makes it and stands. But the knees was the key. So those knees take a lot of stuff. It's like God is saying, there's a lot of weight. There will be a lot of trial. There will be a lot of persecution. But guess what? Remember God is there. Continue to encourage yourself that God cannot fail. Continue to encourage yourself that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Continue to encourage yourself that God can never leave you nor forsake you. Even if everybody else does, God cannot. Continue to encourage yourself. Even through trials, whatever kind of trial that you will undergo, don't give up. You can't afford to give up. Strengthen yourself to the glory of the Lord. Amen? Pastor Fred is just going to continue from there.
Amen. I'm going to just be brief. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll just continue on that very note. Don't give up. Don't give up. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, or we do not give up. We are not the giving up type. Amen? Amen? We don't give up. Verse 16 says, therefore, we do not lose heart. It's repeating the same thing in this same chapter. Twice it's telling us we are not the giving up type. And why does the Bible say we don't give up? You know, if the Bible reminds us and keeps on telling us we don't give up, that means it's not necessarily going to be an easy time. You don't think of giving up when everything is nice and easy and everything is going according to expectations. That means that there are times things are going to go completely differently from what you'd have expected. The Bible says, verse 6, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts." And actually that translation where it says "who has shone in our hearts," it can actually be translated "who is shining in our hearts." So in other words, the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. You remember in Genesis when the whole earth was without form and darkness was over the deep, and the Bible says God said, "Let there be light." And then light came. And look at all this light. Can you imagine there was a time there was no light like this? Before God created the light, there was no light on the earth. And he said, "Let there be light." Look how beautiful this light is. And we can all see one another because there is light. And the Bible says that God who spoke and he commanded light to shine out of darkness, that God, he himself is light, and he's shining in your heart and in mine. That's why when you come to Christ and you receive him as Lord and Savior, and as you live your Christian life, you become more and more like him. As you read the word of God, as you pray, and as you surrender yourself to God, the light that is in you becomes part of who you are. And actually God is shining in you, and within the course of time, people begin to see characteristics of God in your life. Is that not true? You even find yourself being at peace when there's trouble, because the Prince of Peace is in your heart. You find yourself in joy, yet sorrowful things may be surrounding you. The Bible says, "It is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who is shining in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." That's a simple way of saying that God shining in us makes us shine like him. And then verse 7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." And so the idea here is that there's treasure in us. And I don't know how many of us are familiar with earthen vessels. You know, up country, we have these clay pots that are used for cooking. And I'm sure we are all familiar with clay pots. Some of us might not necessarily have seen them because perhaps we don't keep them in our houses. But I know we have all seen pictures. You know, some of us were born around here where we don't have those things very much. But the idea here is that there are some pots that are made out of the earth. Clay pots are made out of earth. That's why it's called, it says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So we are talking about things made of clay. Now the thing about clay is that it has a dull look, isn't it? Clay doesn't shine on its own. No matter how you put it together, it just has a dull kind of look. But the Bible says that we have this treasure, we have this God shining in us, yet we are vessels of clay. We are made of earth, are we not? We are earthen vessels ourselves. And so we have a light shining in us, but when you look at us, we look like anybody else, so to speak. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And then this is coming, verse 8 says, "We are hard pressed on every side." How many of you felt like you are pressed in one way or the other in the year 2019? Pressed, as in there's so much pressure from all sides. You go to the workplace, there's pressure. You're meeting business clients, there's pressure. Perhaps at home, as Pastor Lydia was saying, there can be pressures of one kind or the other. It may not necessarily be relational, it could be financial issues and all that. Pressure. There are deadlines, you've got to pay so many bills in time. Right now there's pressure because schools are opening and people have had to spend quite a bit on Christmas. Fees has to be paid and all that. The rent is waiting and everything. Pressure. The Bible says we are hard pressed on every side. And sometimes you feel like you're pressed from every side. The Bible says, yet we are not crushed. One as if you were son. Because the reason we are not crushed is because we have a treasure in us. For somebody to crush you, he has to be able to crush God. Sinukweli. If God is in you, he might be able to crush the flesh, but the God in you cannot be crushed. We are hard pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. Do you know how I know you're not crushed? The fact that you left 2019 and you're in 2020, that means you are not crushed. What as if you were? You are pressed the whole year, perhaps 365 days. And they say, I remember they used to say 365 days and a quarter is the time that the earth takes to go around the sun. But I used to wonder, how come we don't have quarter of a day? Anyway, that's a story for another day. But the point is, even if you're crushed for those 365 days and the quarter, they say that's why we have a leap year. You know, after 4 years, then we have an extra day. It's to account for that quarter. So even if you are crushed for, you are pressed down for 365 days plus the quarter. Hata ukuachiwa hiyo quarter ukae vizuri. Hata hiyo quarter bado, kwa hiyo quarter ndio lifinyiliwa, ndio sasa. By the time you enter 2020, that quarter is when you are pressed the most. After suffering 365 days of being pressed. Even if you are pressed like that, but you are not crushed. Hallelujah. Shetani alikufinya, but here you are in 2020. You are not crushed. Hallelujah. Amen. So we are hard pressed sometimes, but somehow we are not crushed. The Bible says we are perplexed. You know, when you're perplexed, you don't know what is going on and what is happening and what is not happening. To be perplexed, you have got no answers. Okay, we are perplexed. And there are times when you can't explain what's going on in your life. I'm very sure there are some details of your life which you can't explain. If it is scripture, you have quoted the scriptures, you have fasted, you have prayed, you have believed, you have done everything you know to do, yet you're not getting the results that you are expecting. Has that happened to anybody? I'm sure many of us here, you have got no explanation for certain things you're going through right now as we are talking. So you're perplexed, you don't have answers. Sometimes somebody may ask you, but I thought, you know, you Christians, you normally say, you know, you pray and God answers. What's happening to you? Why is God not answering you? If somebody asks you that kind of a question, you don't have an answer. The truth is, we don't always have answers. Let me tell you the truth. We don't always have answers. Wana sifiwe sana. I stand here preaching, but I don't have all the answers I need for my life. Wana sifiwe sana. I'm telling you the truth. We encourage you, and sometimes when you think we're encouraging you, we're actually encouraging ourselves. Bwana asifiwe sana. But we are all in this together. We don't always have all the answers. We are perplexed. We don't have the answers, but we are not in despair. Hallelujah. We are just not despairing yet. We have so many answers we don't have. The Bible says we are persecuted, but not forsaken. Sometimes when you come to Christ, persecution begins in the family because you're not conforming with some of the demands of the family. And you go out there in the business place, you're not conforming. In the workplace, you're not conforming because you just want to be true to God. Persecuted. Sometimes they may leave you out. Others are being promoted. They may decide not to promote you, not because you didn't perform well. You might be the best performer in the department. But because you have refused to compromise with the world, they promote somebody else and you're left there. Bible says, persecuted but not forsaken. And God never forsakes us. Struck down but not destroyed. That one sounds pretty tough. You know, when you're hard pressed, it sounds like you're still standing. But this one says you're actually struck down. Umeangushwa chini. Struck down. But not destroyed. Sometimes you find yourself literally down. Emotionally, you are down. Sometimes you may be physically down, as in sick. You're in bed. At times, some kind of condition of illness can strike your body. There's no medication that is working, and things are getting worse, and you don't have answers, and you still have got to continue serving the Lord. Struck down. But you're not destroyed. Bible says in verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. So in other words, the Bible says, when you are in Christ, it's a very strange verse, verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Very strange scripture. Can we just look at Luke chapter 9, because I think it will throw some light on this. And then God willing, we shall end on that note. Luke chapter 9 says, verse 21, Luke 9 beginning verse 21, it says, and he strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to no one. That was after he had asked them, who do men say that I am? And then Peter finally said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then he said, he commanded them not to tell anybody who he really was, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. He must be what? Did you hear the word I read there? He must be, somebody say, killed. Imagine. You know, the Israelites were expecting that the Christ, the Son of David, the descendant of David who was a king, was going to come and rule physically, deliver them from all of their enemies. The basic thing they expected of him was for him to end up on a throne if he's the Christ. And Peter said, you are the Christ. And he said, look, don't tell anybody. The Bible says he strictly warned them. Don't dare tell anybody who I really am. Because the Son of Man must suffer. That's the first thing it says. He must suffer. You're expecting him to be on the throne, but guess what? He's going to have to suffer. Second thing, be rejected by the elders, chief priests and scribes, that's by the religious leaders. Thirdly, be killed. But don't forget the fourth part. And be raised. And be what? And be raised from the dead. Very interesting. And then the Bible says, we may come back. I'm not very sure if we'll come back there. But if we don't come back, it's okay. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Because it says, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Meaning, if he suffered, we must also suffer. That's part of the gospel. If he suffered, we'll also suffer. If he was rejected, we'll also be rejected by some people who don't believe what we believe. If he was killed, the truth is there are Christians who are killed for their faith. It has happened in this country, isn't it? Al-Shabaab, when they are separating Muslims from Christians, some of those who were killed in the Garissa University were Christians who had been having acacia. And they were killed because of what? Their faith. And brothers and sisters, we are living in Kenya, a free country, but we have people who hate Christians enough who believe that by killing us, they are serving God. I pray it will not happen, but it's possible for any one of us, God forbid, to be killed because of our faith. The Lord Jesus Christ said he was also going to be killed. And the Bible says we are always carrying about in the body, that's verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. In other words, any of us can be killed for the faith. Pastor Lydia talked about Stephen, and Stephen was not the last. People are being killed every day for the Lord Jesus. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. And so the Bible tells us that we may actually one day die for Jesus. God forbid, but it may happen. If it happens, the way Jesus Christ was raised up, we'll be raised up. The Bible says, verse 11, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. And then I skip to verse 14, which says, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. In case we happen to die for the Lord Jesus, we'll be raised. Even if we die a natural death, we also know still we shall be raised at the end. Amen. So we have that hope of being raised up. But to cut the long story short, regardless of what we have to go through, even if we are hard pressed for 365 and a quarter days, making 1 year, and if it's a leap year, we are pressed for the 366. Bible says we do not lose heart. 2 Corinthians 4:1. We don't lose heart. That's the peculiar thing about us. Regardless of what we go through, we don't lose heart. We don't give up. Verse 16 says, therefore we do not lose heart. We don't give up. Wana sifitana. Hallelujah. Somebody say, we don't give up. We don't give up. We don't give up. And that's why we are saying this year that we are pressing into divine destiny. Sometimes you are being pressed, and the only way you'll get to your destination is by pressing also. Not capitulating to the pressures of the enemy. He presses you, but you keep pressing on so that you may do the will of God, that you may be the man or woman of God that God has called you to be. One as if you were son. We don't give up. I don't think I'll continue beyond that. I think we still have at least 51 more Sundays, so we'll have time to go into other things. Sasa, let us end on that note. We don't give up.
Thank you for listening. Hope you were blessed. You can find more teachings by browsing in this channel.